Welcome back to the Missouri Chamber Capital Chat. We've got our spring break edition, which is one of those editions that we look forward to every year, but then we also kind of dread a little bit because that means session is picking up. But I'm joined again by my awesome colleagues, Heidi Geisbühler-Sutherland.
Hey, happy spring break.
And Kara Korchas.
Hi, everyone.
So as I said, this is the spring break edition, which usually marks the half point of session. This year, it's actually a little bit past the halfway point by a week or two, which means that after spring break, we get back and it's kind of that final sprint to the end. This means that we usually have longer nights in the Capitol, and we also have kind of the budget process moving forward. But then more importantly for the government affairs team is we have to be much more mindful of the legislation that's moving. Because a lot of times folks are starting to get a little bit desperate and might try to put amendments on bills that may have not have been vetted or that they know are controversial, and they might try to sneak them on really quickly. And so that means that we have to monitor things much more closely and make sure that things that are adversarial to the business community don't get put on bills, or if they do, that they get taken off whenever they go to the other side of the Capitol or they go to a conference committee.
And we've already seen a couple times before spring break, they have already tried to add amendments on both the House and the Senate floor that would add either business mandates into bills that we really otherwise wouldn't have expected, or they would add things like restrictions on foreign ag land ownership. There have probably been a couple others as well.
Very creative.
Yes, we did see a couple, as Heidi said, foreign ag land, one of the most problematic foreign ag ownership amendments that we've seen that would ban pretty much any foreign business or foreign person, which could be interpreted as being any business even outside of Missouri from purchasing Missouri farmland. So we obviously have a lot of concerns with that policy, but we will continue to monitor that and make sure that the business community does not have a negative impact from legislation. One of the things that happened right before spring break was the House budget. They dropped the committee amendments. So kind of where we are in that process is the House budget chair filed the budget bills. They did all of the hearings from the departments and talked to all the other members. And then the House chair makes his changes from the governor's recommendation in the budget. And so we got a little bit of an idea of where the House is going to be on the budget and some of the priorities that they might have. But there were a couple noticeable things that were in that budget that we will be monitoring throughout the process.
Yeah, so the House actually cut around $2 billion from the governor's recommended budget, which is a significant cut. One of the programs that was a top priority for the Missouri Chamber and businesses across the state is the funding for the Upskill Credential Program. This is the program that was passed into law last year that would provide a competitive grant program to help upskill employees with short-term certifications and credentials modeled after wildly successful upskilling programs in other states. Workforce is our number one challenge, as we know, in our economic climate, and this bill would be another great tool for that. The bill was passed, but it was subject to appropriation, which means it needed to get funding this year. The governor did include the full $6 billion in his recommended budget for this program, but it was cut out of the House version. So we will be continuing to advocate for that funding to be fully restored as the budget bills move through the legislative process.
Yeah, additionally, there was over $300 million put into expanding I-44. That will not cover anywhere close to the entire project of expanding I-44, but it would do quite a few miles, and especially the more expensive miles along I-44. So we'll be monitoring that. So I guess this is kind of a quick reminder on the budget. It'll go through the House Budget Committee and the House floor where they can possibly make some changes. And then it will get sent over to the Senate and then go through the Senate Committee. And there will be changes made in the Senate Committee. And then it'll go to the Senate floor. Occasionally, there are changes made on the Senate floor, but most of the time, everything is done in the Senate Committee with the Appropriations Chair, Lincoln Huff, who's going to work with all of the 33 other senators to see what they would like in the budget or taken out of the budget. And then once the Senate is done, then the House and the Senate will have their conference committees and kind of fight out what the compromise is going to be, and then they'll send it to the governor. So we'll be monitoring that process and keeping an eye on it as it moves over to the Senate. There is also some other good news moving over to legislation. Child care has been making some progress in the House. And then we've also had some floor time in the Senate to talk about the ever important issue of childcare.
Yep, we have been very pleased with the movement of the child care legislative package that is sponsored by Representative Brenda Shields in the House and Senator Lauren Arthur. This package, as a reminder, would provide three different tax credits that are going to, in a big way, help to increase the capacity for our child care infrastructure. We know that we do have a shortage of child care providers and child care slots in the state. And then it would also help businesses hopefully recruit and retain their employees by being able to offer childcare benefits. And this is, you know, a big priority of ours. This is something that we've been talking about for the last 2 years and are going to continue to talk about all throughout session. This was the second bill to pass out of the House this year. The House bill now has crossed over and has passed out of the Senate committee. And the Senate bill is moving as well. So we are really hopeful that this is something that we can get across the finish line. It is going to take all hands on deck, though, so we encourage you to contact your legislators and remind them how important this legislative package is for working families, for businesses, and for childcare providers across the state.
They debated it on the Senate floor for a little over an hour. Last year was a very intense, very heated debate on the Senate floor between Senator Arthur and Senator Igel. This year, though, it seemed a little bit more focused on the policy, which we view as a step in the right direction. Anytime you can get into the real details of a bill and start talking about the policy, in my opinion, at least, that means things are headed in the right direction, or at least you're able to start working on some kind of compromise or some kind of deal to get something across the finish line.
So while we've also been working on childcare, we have been working in the meantime on tort reform. This is one of our longtime priorities. This year, we have had a bit of a difficult time, to be quite honest, and I think that that is an unfortunate testament to the amount of trial attorney dollars that have been spent in a lot of legislative races. So we find every year for the past couple of years that we have fewer supporters of tort reform, despite it being a priority of the business community and a priority of the chamber. And so whenever we look at our priority this year, which is decreasing the statute of limitations for personal injury cases from 5 years to 2 years, we have two bills. The Senate version has been referred to committee and has had no hearing. And we have the House bill that has had a public hearing, but it has not been voted out of committee. And so I think that that's just a really good, unfortunate illustration that the power of trial attorneys through campaign donations has really increased over the past couple of years.
So another issue we're working on this year, and it is new for this legislative session, is making sure that marijuana continues to be in our workers' comp statute. So the concern is that with the passage of recreational marijuana a couple years ago, that there's a workplace accident, that employers would not be able to consider whether or not somebody has marijuana in their system whenever they're determining the workers' compensation. And so we want to make sure that that is clearly in law so that, you know, a judge can't overturn that. Or also in case the federal government legalizes marijuana, that businesses still have the ability to use marijuana in workers' compensation cases. So that actually, on the good news on that is that it was passed out of the House committee with overwhelming support. And then it also had a Senate hearing a couple weeks ago as well. We were able to answer quite a few questions that senators had. And we had quite a few folks there in support of the legislation as well. And then another issue we've been working on that's fairly new for the chamber is public safety. The good news is that there has been some public safety measures that are moving through the legislature, and we're continuing to monitor those.
There have been actually two different bills that passed out of both the House and the Senate related to public safety. And these bills are kind of an omnibus bill of sorts that contain many different provisions. Some of the provisions are things like getting tough on crime for repeat violent offenders, making sure that those who are the worst of the worst offenders are staying locked up. And then it also has provisions in these bills like increasing penalties for reckless celebratory gunfire that often occurs after a big sports game win or on 4th of July. And these types of celebratory gunfire incidents have a lot of effect both on, unfortunately, the loss of human life, but also on property damage for businesses. And then also there are provisions in one of the bills related to expungement to clarify the process of how individuals can get minor nonviolent offenses expunged from their records to help them transition into the workforce. So a lot of these provisions were passed in a bill last year that got across the finish line, but got vetoed by the governor due to some technical issues. And so there is bipartisan support to get a big crime package done this year. The House bill is being sponsored by Representative Lane Roberts, and the Senate bill is sponsored by Senator Tony Lukemeyer. So I imagine that both of those bills have a pretty good chance of getting truly agreed and finally passed, and hopefully getting a signature from the governor this year.
So I'd mentioned the budget earlier in the podcast. One of the things to be mindful of when we're talking about the budget is the FRA, or the Federal Reimbursement Allowance. And we've mentioned this a few times in the podcast, and we had Pat Thomas, who is the Chief of Staff for the Senate Appropriations Chair, Lincoln Huff, on a couple months ago to talk about the importance of the FRA. And that's about a $4.3 billion piece of legislation that needs to pass to make sure that we're able to fund basic services in our state, such as our K-12 schools, our prisons, our Department of Mental Health. And so that is also a top priority for us to make sure that that crosses the finish line and we're able to make sure we have a stable funding for the state's Medicaid program and also our hospital so that we don't have to make some tough decisions when it comes to the budget. So again, we're continuing to monitor that and make sure the legislators are aware of the importance. And then there have also recently been, as there were last year, quite a few new business mandates that are moving through the legislature. I guess you could say the good thing about it is that they're similar issues to last year. So we're familiar with them. Really, we've got our committee testimony down and we're able to have good conversations with legislators on how these things are going to have a negative impact on the business community. Specifically, the legislation dealing with diversity, equity, and inclusion, otherwise known as DEI, environmental social governance, otherwise known as ESG. They would put new mandates on businesses and really try to mandate what policies that they can have, which we obviously have concerns with because it should be up to each business, whether it's the business owner, the shareholders, kind of the CEO. They're the best people out there to determine what's best for their business. And so we want to make sure they can continue to do that. Another business mandate that's out there is requiring that all employers run E-Verify on new hires. That's administratively, it's a burdensome process. You have to have somebody that knows how to use E-Verify. You also have to go through the process of getting certified for E-Verify, which requires watching a video and then taking some tests. That's a new mandate that we're pushing back pretty hard against. It also has for some non-compliance components in there. It can add a new felony on businesses, which would have a negative impact on the current businesses, but then also folks that are thinking about starting a business in Missouri or relocating or expanding into Missouri. They might have second thoughts on it if they know that there's a possibility that they could be charged with a felony for violating that section of the law. And so we're continuing to monitor that. And as of now, it's still only in the House and has not moved over into the Senate. We'll keep an eye on that.
And this is a pretty hot topic this year, given it's an election year and everyone wants to do something on illegal immigration. However, we just do not feel like the burden should be on employers. Since, as you probably mentioned already, it's already illegal to hire people who are unauthorized to work in Missouri. And so, again, just a new mandate on business. It isn't helpful for our business climate.
As Kara said, there's already penalties in Missouri law. You can lose your business license temporarily. And then on repeated offenses, you can lose it permanently. And then federally, there are fines of up to $3,000 per violation. And then there's also federal felonies as well for hiring somebody that's unauthorized to work in the United States. And so we don't think that Missouri needs to add any more burdens on businesses because there's already penalties on the private sector. So with the second half of session starting, time is really of the essence for the final 2 months. And so it's really going to start to change the dynamics of session. And the first half was challenging enough, I would say, to put it lightly. We're going into the second half optimistic, but also aware that there are quite a few challenges that we still have to work through to get stuff across the finish line. We have quite a few senators that are running for statewide office, whether it's governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and so on. And then we also have quite a few House members that are running for state Senate. And so they all have their own, you know, they want to try to get some headlines, want to try to go vote on social media. And so that does create a challenge when you're trying to pass policy, because sometimes a good policy isn't really something that makes the best campaign talking point. And so their priorities may lie elsewhere. Whenever you're trying to get a bill through committee or get a vote out on the Senate floor or the House floor. And then we actually found out last week that President Pro Tem Caleb Rowden, who had initially announced for Secretary of State, is no longer going to be running for Secretary of State. So we are hopeful that we'll ease some of the tension in the Senate and we'll build a, hopefully a little bit more trust amongst the senators when Senator Rowden is kind of trying to shepherd some things through the process over on that side of the building.
And I think his message was pretty powerful in his announcement. You know, he just said, like, basically, compromise shouldn't be a bad word. And the whole point of being in Jefferson City is to try to get things done. But that has not been his experience and most others in the last few years, where everything is so polarized and everything is for a soundbite on social media. And it's not really about moving good policy forward. So I thought his message was really eloquent, really well received. And I think he is a true statesman.
And as mentioned earlier, with the second half of session, there will be longer nights. There will be folks trying to sneak things through. So we will pay close attention. And then in the upcoming podcast, we will talk a little bit more about some of the things to look for in the August primaries and November election, whether that's candidates. And also there's a lot of initiative petitions that are circulating. I'm sure you've probably seen some of the signature gatherers as you've gone into the grocery store or been out and about around town. So we will have a better idea of what is going to be on the ballot in the coming 2 months. And then we can talk a little bit more about those and see what the impact is on the private sector. And then also we have a few events coming up for the Missouri Chamber. We have the healthcare conference, which is in St. Louis on April 18th, less than a month away. We also have our PAC golf tournament in the Missouri Chamber PAC, helps support business-friendly candidates in primaries and general elections. And that is on June 13th. And then we have the Cardinals versus Royals game in St. Louis on July 10th. So we have quite a few events coming up in the next few months. And if you want more information, you can go to the Missouri Chamber website and go to the events tab, and you'll be able to register for any of those. And if you have questions, feel free to let Kara, Heidi, or myself know. We'd be happy to answer any questions for you. Thanks again for joining the Missouri Chamber Capital Chat, and we hope you have a great week.